Welcome everyone to the 2024 Virtual Region Convention and to our session, Accessibility and the Tools. My name is Lisa. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict, and I'll be your moderator for this session. Our first speaker will be Andres, and then DJ, and then Michael.
Hello, everyone. I'm Andres. I'm a grateful recovering food addict. I would like to share about basically what my whole journey with the OA program and how I deal with the accessibility. I'm a food addict, compulsive eater, and I've always v viewed that as a big part of my life. But I started my journey in when I got my surgery back in 2009. I've always really loved the program. I've been in program for 3 years. I've been abstinent for 3 years, and yeah, it's a big part of my life. I also have bipolar disorder, and I also have PTSD, and I'm basically special needs. I've been like that since I was 14 years old. Yeah, I had a really, really traumatic past, but that's what made me the man I am today. I'm abstinent. I love sharing my experience, stress, and hope with everybody who was in the program, and it's really awesome. I lead meetings, and it feels great. But one thing I wanted to share is that I was at my heaviest weight, and that was almost 500 pounds. This is me at my heaviest weight on my 30th birthday. And this person here was not happy. His father passed away last year. I was not very happy with my whole life. I was basically I was mourning. I was very, very sad, and the grief was kind of taking its toll on me, and it's better now. It's 4 years later, but yeah, that's just me sad. I you can see I look sad in that picture. But fast forward to like 3 years later, of course, I'm not where I want to be with my program right now, but I'm recovering, and I'm very grateful. Grateful. This person here is very, very grateful today. Let me just move. Very grateful. I was at the beach. This is one of my favorite pictures of myself. He looks lighter, and he's happy, and I'm just higher power. This is my representation of how I feel with my higher power. Yeah, I'm just feeling. I'm grateful that I'm not at that place anymore. 4 years ago, my old self would My new self would tell my old self, "You're gonna go places, and you're gonna inspire so many people who have something similar that you're going through." And I want to inspire people to be the best version of themselves. I have an eating disorder. I'm special needs. I have trauma in my life. There's other things that I might not even know I have with the program that have to talk to my sponsor about. But yeah, it's beautiful. The program is beautiful. So yeah, I have special needs. I have an eating disorder, and I also those are the things that make me the man I am. Like I that makes me Andres, a grateful recovering food addict, that I call myself. I go to a brilliant, awesome home group called Creative Reprieve. How could I not give them a shout out in my share? I am so grateful for that meeting because that's like one piece of my heart, literally one piece of my heart, and that is in that meeting. And I that's where I found where I can recover with any means of creativity. And that's like my heart. Like I love that meeting so much. And if you can see, there's different artwork that I've made around my room that's I made in that meeting, and I post it everywhere. I love creating. And yeah, I'm just very my heart is filled with so much. I don't know where to put all that gratitude, but I'm very grateful that I have a place that I'm not going to be I've given advice over what I'm doing with my program or anything like that. And I'm safe in these rooms, definitely safe. And it's awesome. Like I have a job now without getting to a weight that I'm supposed to get to. I would have not have a job. Like I can't walk. I could have not walked on my feet for more than an hour, and now I could stand for literally like 3 or 4 hours, and that's awesome. That's all I need. I have a good job. My boss is awesome. She's awesome. She's literally gone above and beyond for me, and to have those things is a privilege. Without program, I would have not have a job. Or in the future, I want to be in a relationship, but I'm happy where I am right now. I'm single, but yeah, this is awesome. To be in a community where I'm loved and accepted for who I am, not only for my program, but with all my stuff going on that involves program, is awesome. And yeah, I hope I shared enough that you guys can see where I'm coming from with everything. And I wanted to share that this program does work if you work it. And one meal at a time for me. And thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Andres. Thank you so much for being here and sharing. Our next speaker is DJ. Welcome, DJ. DJ H, please share.
My name is DJ. I'm a compulsive overeater. I observe my OA anniversaries on holidays because that's the only way I can remember them. So on Valentine's Day this year, I marked 44 years in program. And on this coming Easter, if things don't change, I'll mark my 4 years of abstinence. I've had abstinence periods of longer and during the program, but I am a relapse survivor. I will tell you about some of the tools that helped me during this journey. They never failed me. When I didn't work them, I failed in working my program, but the program has always worked. I came into the program at 29, but let's jump to halfway through my program. In my early 40s, I did something I had wanted to do as a teenager, since I was a teenager. I went to a psychiatrist. I don't know why I wanted to go. I've been wanting to go since I was an adolescent. And I don't know why it took me so long, but I'm a fearful person and a person who procrastinates. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of my what I thought was my mental state. I went to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist said I had clinical depression and that I'd probably had it for most, if not all, of my life. And he said my tendency to isolate, my self-flagellation were symptoms of a greater illness. Now, the AA Big Book and the OA 12 and 12, which didn't exist at the time, both encourage addicts to seek help with professionals. It took almost 20 years, but I did. My higher power was screaming in my ear, and I went gallivanting around, and I stopped and listened. I got medication. I started therapy. So now let's rewind and jump back to the start of my program, things that I did because and in spite of my mental disabilities, emotional disabilities. Let's start at the very beginning with the food plan. I had had digestive problems. I'm too polite to tell you what they were. I had taken my symptoms to various doctors over the years, and all of them asked me the same inane questions. Do you notice the symptoms after certain meals, after eating certain foods? And how was I supposed to know? That was rocket science, doc. But then, who had space between meals or after eating one food or another? My meals and snacks started when I woke up in the morning and didn't end until I went to bed at night, and sometimes even past then, because I've awakened with unchewed food in my mouth. So obviously, sorry about that. But then OA came. Then came OA with a suggestion that I eat three meals a day. Put a pause in it between meals. Okay, that made a difference. I quickly pinpointed the culprits, one of the culprits, and that was gluten. So before there were gluten-free diets or specific foods in the grocery shelves touting gluten-free eating, I was diagnosed with it and I went gluten-free. We've all heard of sugar decried in the rooms. You don't have to ditch them, but try it, you'll like it. Some people call themselves sugar addicts. Weird. Considering how much sweet stuff I consumed in a day, that should have been obvious. I had stopped bringing desserts into the house. Sometimes I binge junk food in the car on my way from work and at work, but then I came into my dessert-free house with the craving still there. That didn't last long because even though I didn't have desserts, I still had sugar in my house. And so when I found myself a couple of times waking up in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. guzzling sugar out of a cup, that was a tip off. And then when I came to OA and these meetings and talking to my fellows, all of a sudden I realized some things. A light bulb went off when I heard their stories. I found out their descriptions were true. Members were less lethargic during the day when they lessened the sugar intake. I found me too. Just eliminating sugar made a difference in my attention span and dozing off. And eliminating sugar meant fewer calories, thus increasing the chance of weight loss. The other benefit of the food plan was becoming fervent about reading labels. Did you know that manufacturers put gluten additives in frozen desserts, even diet frozen desserts? I learned all that while pursuing a gluten-free food plan. So now realize that at this time, I had undiagnosed and untreated clinical depression. I didn't need anything that was going to make me lethargic and make it difficult for me to get around in the world. I didn't need to be eating all day and so stuffed that it also made me doze off in the day. So that was a mental benefit as well as a physical one. Okay, so let's A few years after I first went to a psychiatrist, I changed places and I went to another psychiatrist who also told me I had ADD, attention deficit. Of course, that's popular now, and you wouldn't expect somebody in their 40s to be diagnosed with it for at such an age. But I didn't know what was going on, and I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't know what help to seek. And of course, I didn't always recognize it. All of a sudden, things were a lot better. Again, without the diagnosis, things were a lot better once I started working program. Why were they better? If I'm not lethargic, I can increase my attentiveness. Something happened early on in program. I'd gotten a kind of a lukewarm review at work. And rather than waiting a year, they told me they'd review me in 3 months to see what was going on. In those 3 months, I joined Overeaters Anonymous. Well, I had started working my steps in Overeaters Anonymous. I went in for my next review, for that next 3 month review, and my review was glowing. How well you're doing, how you've answered all of these concerns. Thank you. Well, what had happened? I had more energy. My attention span was better because I wasn't gorging all day long, and I became a stronger person. There are so many things that can happen to me that have happened to me emotionally because of OA. Better relationships, calmer, an increased attention span. Once I got the ADD diagnosis, they upped my medicine, and that's improved a lot. Writing helped me concentrate. I've learned that writing something down helped me concentrate more, and I'm a big believer in those two-way letters to God. Overeaters Anonymous didn't make me perfect, but it helped me come up with ways to bridge my disabilities, physical, emotional, and spiritually. So as I go along this road to happy destiny, each one I can tell has been helped by the program of Overeaters Anonymous, whether it's the plan of eating or the meetings or reading. I've always have a guide. I'm never alone anymore. Thank you.
Thank you, DJ. Thank you so much for being here and sharing. Okay, great. So now we're going to move to our third speaker, and we have Michael W. Michael, please share.
Hello, I'm Michael. I'm a compulsive overeater in California. Good morning to you all, wherever you are in the world. I have just by qualification have been coming in and out of programs since 2002. I have been most recently active in program since July of 2022, coming up on 2 years of abstinence. I have released over 250 pounds, 115 kilos. From an all-time high weight of 340 kilos or 745 pounds. I was losing weight before I came into program. I am a disabled person and am dependent upon a wheelchair to get around. The message that I want to bring to you this morning is that no matter who you are, how you identify, where you are in your life paths, that there is a place for you here in OA. First of all, I'd like to tell you a little bit about how I work my program. I live far from in-person program. Most meetings are over an hour away. There's one single meeting a week that's about 45 minutes away. And so I found myself in online meetings, which led me to being active in the virtual region and and me giving service in places like this convention. The virtual region has become a real treasure because we are able to go in the virtual region to places where there is no program and allow people to fully participate in the life of OA. And certainly that has been the case for me. Now, once I started attending meetings, I felt that it was important to be able to relate to the people that I was listening to. One of the goals that we have in having members share, whether it's speaker meetings or just participants sharing in a meeting, is that we hope to hear ourselves in other stories. That allows us to relate, and that allows us to see ourselves become what we're listening to. I can be abstinent because I'm listening to someone who looks like me, who sounds like me, who has my experiences, abstinent and successful in this program. And because I see that, I can be successful too. I can be abstinent. I can work this program. Well, I found myself drawn to four communities within OA, and it is in those four communities that I work my program. And those four communities are how I identify and see myself. The first one is as a 100-pounder. So, as I said before, I came from a very high weight, 340 kilos, 745 pounds. Those of us who are on the extreme end of this disease suffer from certain situations, cultural exclusion, physical difficulties that are particular to our physical situation. I have found that the people who understand me best and who I understand best are fellow 100-pounders who know obesity and who are supportive of me. That's where I consider my OA home, and I'm part of a men's 100-pounder plus plus group. We now have four meetings going on, five meetings a week, where we gather and work program together. And it has become extremely meaningful because those are my people. I said this was a men's 100-pounder group, and I would say that the second group that I feel I identify most with are fellow men in program. There are far more women than men. If you go to mixed meetings, you'll see that. And so sometimes we men feel a little isolated, don't know how to relate. And I have found that men's meetings can be particularly ha helpful for me. I do service in the men's intergroup, and that's been a great source of joy. And most of the meetings I attend are men's specific focus meetings. The fellowship that I have found there is also really amazing. I am a gay man, and my connection with being a gay man in a way is actually quite important. You see, I did not have the strength to come out until much later in life. And it was only in my mid-30s that I even accepted myself as a gay man. And the very first time that I was able to openly, in public, state, I am a gay man. Before talking to my family, my closest friends. It was in an LGBT meeting at an OA convention for Region 2. I had the strength there for the first time ever to openly say, I'm a gay man and a compulsive overeater. It was a remarkable thing. And I felt the acceptance with my fellow compulsive overeaters in that meeting. Today, I attend several meetings with the LGBT community. A meeting just for gay men once a week. We only have one in the entire program, one gay men's meeting. But I'm there sharing with my fellow gay men in program, and I have made some beautiful friendships there. In addition, I attend regularly another LGBT meeting, a land-based meeting out of San Francisco that is virtual, and find a wonderful group to share my recovery with
2 minutes.
fellow gay brothers and sisters. Lastly, before I became disabled, I was a French teacher. I've lived in Paris and studied in Paris. The love of France and French culture is very much part of my life. Well, as a French speaker with native fluency, I began to work my program in French as well as English. And several times a week, I connect in. And for a few hours, I join my brothers and sisters in recovery in France and connect with them. I attend meetings and give service in French meetings. I've also attended big book studies into French through the OA Footsteps intergroup. I have made some wonderful friendships with my French fellow OA members, and I'm so happy to say that my physical recovery is such that I'm planning a trip to France this fall, and I will be going to OA meetings in person in France and meeting in person so many people that I have worked with over the past year. So those are the communities that I belong to, and they help me relate. I see myself in them, in the different aspects of my personality, and I am able to work my program and see myself in the stories of those in the meetings with me. As I said at the beginning, whoever you are, wherever you are, wherever you are in any time of your life, there is a place for you here in OA. And you will find others that share your story and share your recovery. And we welcome you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much for being here and sharing. Thank you to our three speakers. Truly heartwarming and amazing. And thank you for sharing your personal stories with us. Andres, there's a message. Thank you so much. I've seen you in meetings and appreciate you. You are terrific. So there's a question about grief. You mentioned grief. I was wondering if you could share any experiences that helped you get past the grief for other people who are in similar situations. Thanks.
Hi everyone, Andres again, good for recovering food addict compulsive eater. Well, grief comes in waves for me, or from other people too. For me, dealing with my father's going through my father's passing was one of the most hardest deaths in my fam passings of my family that I've gone through. And I just take it one day at a time, one moment at a time for me, because I stole that line from OA, but It's grief. It's something that is unknown for me. And I just took deep breaths. When I first heard that my father passed away, I asked him, and then the next day I cried, like I broke down in tears, and it really hit me. But I just took it one day at a time, you know, just find resources to help you, and reach out to people who will love you, and just reach out and ask what's going on, and like, yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Andres. The next question for DJH. You mentioned two-way letters or two-day letters. Could you talk a little bit more about what that is?
Hi. Two-way prayer letters. And we have a couple of two-way, there are within OA two-way prayer meetings. And that's where you write a letter to your higher power, asking a question or making a statement or worry or whatever, and then meditate and write what you think your higher power is answering to you. It keeps my thoughts from coming out in a jumble, and it keeps the other voices. But with ADD especially, it's just you just have so many voices saying, I should do this, I should do that. I'm looking for an answer. And it just seems that I can clarify my question better when I construct it in writing. And I think I get a clearer answer without all of my fog and chatter in my ear, without when I write a letter. I do this at home. Sometimes it's every day. Some people do it just when there's a problem, but I just think it just makes my day go better when I do it. Thank you.
Thank you, DJ. Next question is about the tools specifically. We heard from a plan of eating, a plan of action, meetings, writing, service, and literature. Michael will put this one to you first. Could you talk about how perhaps one of these three, something to do with one of these three last tools, telephone or sponsorship or anonymity? And you've all done service, so service is definitely in there too. But telephone, sponsorship, anonymity, if you'd like to take one, and then we'll go to each speaker.
Well, I'll address the telephone. The phone calls I make are to the people who I cross paths with in the meetings. And so I belong to those different communities that I spoke of, and I make phone calls regularly and receive phone calls regularly from those people. I would say especially in my home meetings. And I have what I consider to be my home meeting of for 100 pounders, my home meeting for men's meetings, my home meeting for gay men's, and my home meeting for French speakers. And I have regular exchange, both text and voice calls with people in each of those. And so I end up with a circle of people I have phone contact with. That's quite large.
Great. And Andres, there's a sponsorship one directly. Do you sponsor? Do you have different sponsors or buddies that you use for food and steps?
I am not sponsoring right now, but I do have a couple of co colleagues in OA members that I reach out to me. I have a sponsor, but I'm not sponsoring, if that makes sense. There's one person that we chat like almost every day, and I send pictures of my food sometimes to that person, and yeah, we had like a lot of heartfelt conversations about the program too, and what we're dealing with our with like things that go around it. So yeah, I'm not sponsoring right now, but hopefully when my higher power tells me I'm prepares me, yeah, I will eventually get to that level. But for now, I'm just trying to do the steps again and try again and eventually do that. Yeah.
Thank you, Andres. DJH, we have a couple questions. Somebody asked specifically, I think you answered some of it with the two-way prayer, but generally speaking, what type of questions do you ask God? Is one of the this is one question. We have one more.
They differ. Sometimes it's very specific. What can I do to improve my relationship with my sister? Do I need to cut off relationships with people who I believe are in my way? Why am I so angry? Or why am I so anxious right now? Or I've been procrastinating over this particular task for a long time. What help me? And then sometimes it's just what are you trying to tell me that I need to know today? Thank you.
And another question for you is, do you sponsor? And if so, how do you sponsor?
I sponsor, and it's changed over the years. Most recently, the step workshops that OA sponsors, I've led several of those, but now, even if I'm working with an individual, I'll go through a sort of abbreviated form of that. I think it familiarizes the people with the big book. AA 12 and 12, OA 12 and 12, and AA 12 and 12. I like having that variety. Let me just say, there's never a time when I stop working steps. So with my sponsor and me, I went through the workshop and talked to her about the answers. Then we went through the AA OA 12 and 12, and then we went the steps and the traditions, and right now we're going through the AA 12 and 12. And so I
Right.
plan to do the same. I plan to do the same.
Thank you. Thank you, DJ. There's another question. If you have to choose one tool, what's your favorite tool? Oh, Andres, go ahead, Andres.
Writing for me. I can't choose one tool. I'm sorry. I love Writing is one of my favorite ones. Yeah.
Wonderful. DJ?
I go to two meetings a day. That probably says something to you. And I have this plan of action. And one of the things I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to read something from the big book every day. Doesn't mean I don't read other literature, but I'm supposed to read something from that every day. And writing just really clears my mind, because even after all these years, even I am not cured of my emotional disorder. I'm going to take clinical depression to my grave, and even with the medication and the therapies, I still of course have problems. And when I take it to writing, that's just a good solution for me.
Wonderful. And Michael?
I think one of the biggest challenges of my disease is isolation. And the 2 years leading up to my high point of weight, I was so isolated. We were in the midst of COVID, and I spent almost 2 years inside my house, and I left only twice. Two times I left my house in 2 years. It's horrible. And so for me, the tools of the telephone and meetings are an opportunity to finally break that isolation down and connect with other people. And it's for me the connection and feeling that I'm part of something, and the friendships that have come because of that, that are so valuable to me. All the tools are important, but I'm with DJ. I'm in a meeting at least once a day, most days twice a day, sometimes three.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. So a couple more questions. How do you take your recovery on vacation?
I'll go first. This is DJ. One thing I must say is that when I leave home, I'm probably, my food is usually better. I know some people have a problem with food when they leave home, but when I, and I take my, I take some piece of literature. And of course, these days you can go, I can take, if I have my phone, I can go and read something from the big book or whatever literature I have downloaded. And I can go to meetings when I'm on vacation. But I can always write on vacation. That's sometimes I'll use a telephone to text or call somebody while I'm out. But writing and meditating and praying are doubly important. But I must say, I'm usually better on vacation than I am at home, and I have no idea why that exists.
That's great. Thank you, DJ. Would Andres or Michael like to answer?
Well, because of my physical recovery, I did something this past summer that I'll be doing again next summer. And that is, I went away for summer camp and volunteered in a summer camp all summer. And so we had to go on the road with the program. And I did take literature with me. I attended different meetings, but I attended meetings still, especially early morning meetings. And virtual meetings allow me the portability of my program to really be accessible to me. And then phone calls also became really important. But I did have to, because my routine was very different, and I had obligations with my volunteer work, that I couldn't do the same thing again. But that doesn't mean I don't have to do any program. I still have to do program. And I continued to lose weight as well. Now I've got this European trip coming up, and it'll be an extended trip. I'm taking my program with me. And because I'm going into places where there's in-person program, I'm planning on going and visiting in-person meetings. When I was a student in Paris, I did in-person meetings in Paris, and I look forward to going back and doing that again.
Great, perfect. Andres, would you like to share too on how you take your recovery on vacation?
Well, I'm not going on vacation this year, but I'm going to go on a little trip to a hotel. So I'm going to take my iPad with me, and I have Kindle, so I'm going to use that to like read the literature. And also, it's going to be a 3-night little vacation away from home. Staycation away from home, if you could call it that. So I'm going to like have all my little there's gonna be snacks and food that I'm gonna bring with me that's on my plan, but we're gonna it's our my anniversary with my best friend, so we're just going to have like we're gonna eat out one day, and that's it. I can't do anything else. It's just my plan is gonna be with me for 2 nights, and it's gonna be that. So hopefully that'll go well. I don't know what's going to happen, but because it's in July, so that's what I'm going to do for my program. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for participating with the Q&A.